Thank you for tuning in to the Living Bread Podcast. We hope that your spirit will be lifted and your heart comforted by today's sermon. Pastor Brian Bohr is the senior pastor at Living Bread Church and is a passionate minister of the grace and blessing of God. In today's sermon, learn how your faith opens the door to God's power, the power of Jesus Christ. Now here's Pastor Brian in a sermon titled, The Mysteries of Faith.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, glory. How many brought their Bibles today? Isn't it good to come and read the Bible? How many people here believe in Jesus Christ? I want to make sure I'm with the right group today. You believe in Jesus Christ? Praise God. Well, glory. Go with me in your Bible, if you would, to Mark, the fourth chapter today. Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to get into a few things here today about the mysteries of faith, understanding the mysteries of faith. Faith is not to be a mystery. It's not to be a mystery. Mark, the fourth chapter. Here we find verse 11. Jesus said, and he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Now he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. One of the mysteries of the kingdom of God is the power of faith, or what we call the mystery of faith. And Jesus knew all the mysteries of faith. And faith was not meant to be a mystery. It is meant to be a power working within the believer. But many times, people wonder why their faith is not working. But you got to understand, faith is working. And many times, people don't understand how come their faith has not brought them through. Well, we're going to get into that. Why your faith has not brought you through is because many times, people have not activated their faith correctly. And so God does not do anything outside the Word of God. Everything he does in the parameter of the Word of God. God is a faith God. God is a Word God. What God is going to do, he does in accordance and in agreement with his Word. And so a person has to have understanding of how faith works in order to use their faith. And so there's mysteries of faith. And Jesus wants you to know the mysteries of faith. And thank God that he sent somebody to us to reveal the mysteries of faith. Now, who is that someone? We'll look over here to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to find out who that someone is that Jesus sent to reveal unto us the mysteries of faith. He does not want us living in the dark. He wants us living by faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. When you understand that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You said a while ago that you were a believer in him. Well, if that is true, notice what he said in verse 12. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, how many people believe on him? You said you were a believer on him. You believed in Jesus. Praise God, maybe a few of us, maybe two, believe in Jesus. Maybe you decided not to believe in him all of a sudden. How many people believe in Jesus? Are we in the right church? Praise God, you believe in Jesus. Well, notice what it said then. If you believe in Jesus, we're going to break it down very simple. If you believe in Jesus, notice what he said on the screen there or in your Bible. He said right here, if you believe on me, he said these words, the works that I do, he said, amen, the works that I do, shall he do also in greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to my Father. He said, so the works that I do, what I do, you're going to do. Amen. Now that's a big statement. What I do, you're going to do. What I do, I want you doing. Well, one thing that Jesus knew, he understood the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it's given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But everybody on the outside, the Amplified Bible said on the outside of the circle, it was just a parable unto them. These are not meant to be parables unto you. It was meant to be revelations unto you. A revelation, praise God. Something that is revealed unto you. But people on the outside, he said, it's nothing more but a parable unto them. And so we see right here, he said, if you believe what you said, I do believe. He said, if you believe on me, he said, then the works I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going unto my Father. How can a believer now that believes on Jesus do greater works than Jesus did? That's not exactly what he's saying, praise God. But he is saying, praise God, we're going to do greater works because there's going to be more people that believe in Jesus. There's just not one Jesus on the earth. There's going to be believers in Jesus. Now think about this dynamic. The believer that believes in Jesus accesses the power of Jesus, according to this scripture right here. Write that down. The believer that believes in Jesus accesses the power of Jesus. When a believer believes in Jesus, according to this scripture right here, praise God, they begin to access the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it's just not one Jesus on the earth. He said, now there's the believers in Jesus. Those that believe in Jesus. He said, and if you believe in me, then the works that I do shall he do, or you do, or she do, praise God, also. There's going to be the also. Amen. And so he's not talking about feelings now. He's talking about what the Holy Spirit will do through us. He is the someone that reveals the mysteries of faith. Praise God. Then he goes on to say right here, verse 13. Notice he says in verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will he do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, when you ask. He didn't say beg. There's a difference between understanding the mysteries of faith and understanding normal Christianity. Normal Christianity is nothing more but a person that begs God and does not understand their rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. But the believer now is not the normal Christian. They're the person that understands their rights, who they are, what was given unto them, and they exercise that power. Hallelujah. You got to understand the revelation of the Word of God living in you has to go beyond your feelings and your emotions, or you will always be defeated in life. You will always be defeated. You'll always be defeated in life until you allow the Word of God to go beyond your emotions. If you allow your emotions to rule you all the days of your life, then you're going to be defeated all the days of your life. The enemy does not have to possess you. He does not have to do much to you, because you allow, you yield to your emotions versus the Word of God. But you said a while ago, unless you're a liar, and I don't believe you are, you said you believed in Jesus. Now, if you believe in Jesus, you have to believe in the Word. If you believe in Jesus, you have to believe in that scripture we read. Because he said, if you believe on me, the works I do shall you do also, in greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Now, I want to ask you one other question here. Did you lie to me a while ago? Did you lie when you said you believed in Jesus? If you believe in him, he said, then the works I do shall you do also, in greater works than these. Hallelujah. Because I'm going unto my Father. He said, I'm going back to him. When I go back to him, I'm going to send my power unto you. I'm going to send my presence unto you. When I go back to him, I'm not going to leave you like orphans here on this earth. Praise God. He says, you're going to be able to ask. Now notice this word, verse 13 again. Whatsoever. Whatsoever. Is there a limitation in that word? That's three words put together. Is there a limitation in this word right here? There is no limitation in this word. Where is the limitation at in this word? The limitation is in your mind. Because some people, they're educated in the Bible, but they don't have the spirit of faith. See, faith doesn't come by education. It is a spirit that lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. It's a mystery that unbelievers can't understand. And so there's no limitation in this scripture. He said, whatsoever, the limitation is in the mind of men. Men try to figure out how's it going to work. And men say things like this while we're preaching, because, you know, we can figure out what people are thinking while we're preaching by the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, really? Yes. Jesus said he could hear their thoughts. And I can hear thoughts sometimes when I'm preaching. People say, well, if that was so, how come we don't see any power? I want to tell you, dummy, why you don't see any power. You don't understand the mystery of faith. I didn't mean to call you dummy. I shouldn't do those things. Praise God. I want to share with you, intelligent one, why you do not see any power is because you have not understood one of the mysteries of faith. Now, it seems, and I'm not for sure yet, that I'm going to begin to teach on the mysteries of faith for a while, because we need a shot in the arm when it comes to faith. And this is not a series. This is a season. I don't do good at series. I don't get up and do many series, because as soon as I get in a series, if it gets dead, I quit. I don't want to keep pushing a rope. I like to pull a rope. And so this could be a season, and there's so many mysteries of faith that I want to reveal, or the Holy Spirit wants to reveal unto you. And one of the mysteries of faith, one of the great mysteries of faith, is that you do not live by what you see, you live by what you believe. Until you get that mystery down, faith will not work correctly for you. It's one of the mysteries of faith that we walk by faith and not by sight. That you cannot be moved by what you see. If you're moved by what you see, you're going to be discouraged most of the time in life. It's a mystery of faith that a person can see what they see in the natural and still believe that God is working, even though it doesn't look like God is working. That's what faith is. Hallelujah. Faith is greater than your problem. But notice here, there's no limitation. Jesus has not placed any limitation. Once you understand there's no limitation on you, then you'll begin to act in faith. There is an act of faith. There is the act of faith. Praise God. When I'm called to minister, you know, the word of God, it's an act of faith. I'm acting in faith right now. I don't know everything that I'm going to say. I have to wait on the Holy Spirit to speak to me while I'm up here. But he's never failed me yet. So many times I would, you know, begin to fret. And if I would allow myself, I would fret every Saturday night. I have a fretting session before I get to the church. But the Holy Spirit's never failed me. I don't know why we fret. He's with us. He gives us unction, he says. Amen. He gives us utterance. But notice this word right here. It's a very peculiar word. Whatsoever you shall ask. The word ask is the word in the Greek which means to demand something. Command it. Understanding your inheritance, your rights. There's no weakness in this word ask. There's no beg in this word ask. Even David said, I've been young, amen, like Pastor Brian, amen, I'm young and I'm old like Jim. He said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. He said, I've been young and I'm old. David did get old. But he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. There's no begging in this word ask. You're not begging God to do something for you. Now, the only way that you can have confidence is to know what the word says. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's a mystery to faith. And I'm going to speak some of these mysteries by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring them up to me when I'm talking about it. But I'm also got some of them that I directly know that I'm going to go to in the Word of God. I mean, I got really excited when the Holy Spirit said, you know, I'm going to reveal to you some of the mysteries of faith, why your faith has not been working correctly. I said, I want to see those. Amen. Can you say amen? So he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he said right here, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when you ask in the name of Jesus, he says you can ask for whatsoever, praise God. He said the Father, he said, is going to be glorified because I'm going to do what you're asking. Your asking is not begging, but your asking is understanding that you have an inheritance through me. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 26. He said, but the Comforter now, he said, which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter is the one that comforts you. He said, and who is the Comforter? The Holy Ghost. There's no reason to fear the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a genius. The Holy Ghost is a guide. The Holy Ghost, you know, is a gentleman. He doesn't interrupt. Amen. You can't force him on anybody. Nobody needs to fear the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is sent here to empower you. And so he says right here, whom the Father will send in my name. The Holy Ghost comes in the name of Jesus. See, there's something about that name. You have right to use that name. You have access to that name. That's one of the things that you're to have faith in. You are to have faith in the name of Jesus. Acts 3:16. You're to have faith in the name. Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, being the ninth hour, and they saw the lame man there begging alms. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They were questioned for healing the sick. And they said, it's not our holiness. I'm glad Peter was honest. It's one of the great revelations and mysteries of faith that you don't have to be totally 100% holy to get faith to work for you. If you have to be 100% holy to get faith to work for you, then none would qualify. See, Paul, I like what Mark Hankin said here recently. He said Paul did not preach dedication as much as he preached revelation. You know what I'm talking about, dedication? People preach you need to be more dedicate yourself. He said Paul didn't preach dedication as much as he preached revelation. A revelation brings a transformation, a revelation of Christ. When you gain the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to see what Christ can do in you. Praise God. Quit seeing yourself. Quit looking at yourself. Look at Christ in you. It's no longer you, but it's Christ living on the inside of you. The limitations are with you, but whatsoever you shall ask, that you shall ask is Christ living in you. Hallelujah. That's asking in faith, asking in the name. So one of the things that you have faith in is faith in the name. You have faith in the word. You have faith in God. You have faith in the blood. You have faith in the power of God. Those are things that we see throughout the scripture that it says have faith in. So everybody say, I have faith in the name. I have faith in the word. I have faith in God. I have faith in the blood. Have faith in the power of God. Amen. Now those are all scriptures. We're not looking at them, but they're in the Bible. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our faith stands in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says right here, now the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he said, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the Holy Ghost lives and abides on the inside of you. One of the mysteries of faith is that faith is released through words. Faith is released through words. Faith is a language. One of the mysteries is that you can have the Word living on the inside of you. You can know the Word, but you must release your faith with your words. That's one of the mysteries. There is no such thing as unspoken faith. People said, oh, I believe what you're preaching. Well, you don't have to believe what I'm preaching. Say what you believe. Faith is a mystery, one of the mysteries. And I'm going to say one of the biggest mysteries of faith is that your faith has to be released with your words. You're either releasing fear or you're releasing faith every day. You're either releasing doubt and unbelief or you're releasing faith. You need to bridle your tongue, the Bible says. Now, I don't know a lot about horses. We have horse people around here. I really don't care for horses too much because my grandmother bought us a horse, a little pony, when we were little. And so she had this pony tied up under a pear tree. And so I went up to pet this pony, little Bill, and he bit me on the back of the arm. So me and horses have not been flowing together since then. I'm kind of always been nervous because when you get bit right back there on the back of the arm when you're about, 8 or 9 years of age, you're skittish automatically. But I remember they said, you need to put a bridle in that pony's mouth. I said, I don't want to touch that pony. I wish that pony would die. And it did die. He died. But I didn't like that pony. But when you had to put a bridle, soon as you came around the corner with that bridle, that thing would begin to pull against the rope and pull his neck back. And he would, and I know we have horse people over there, and he would have his eyes wide. You could see the white of his eyes. Well, I was nervous. And horses can sense fear. They can sense a person that doesn't have any knowledge. That pony said, this guy right here doesn't know anything about us. He doesn't know that he can master us. I'm going to act like I'm going to master him. But man is made in the image of God. Man is made to master the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom was never meant to master man. The lion of the jungle, the king of the jungle, which is the lion, he never was meant to master man. Man is made in God's image, God's likeness. So the animal kingdom was to submit to man. But when you try to put that bridle in that horse's mouth, it would pull against you. And in order for you to understand one of the mysteries of faith, if you really had a mystery, the revelation of faith, you would put a bridle in your mouth. You would not say what you've been saying. Because what you're saying is affecting your emotions, number one. What you're saying is affecting your inner circle, the people that you influence. It's affecting, number three, unbelievers. How low can you go to speak unbelief to an unbeliever? You're going all the way to the bottom to speak unbelief to an unbeliever. It is affecting them. It is affecting your future. Your future is affected by what you're saying. If you want to take control of your future, you have to take authority over your words. Words are powerful. Words release fear. Words release unbelief. Words release doubt. Our words can release power. You need to put a bridle in your mouth. Now, if you were weighed according to what you said, if you received according to what you said, everything that you said over the next 24 hours, if you were weighed whether you're going to receive or whether you're not going to receive, if it was based on what you were saying, you would guard your mouth. You would guard your mouth. Now, some people are good at guarding their mouth. But just guarding your mouth is not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, just shut up. Jesus said, speak. Amen. So you got a reverse, you got a neutral, which is not saying anything. Then you've got a drive. Do you think that you can control this one of the smallest instruments in your body, which is your tongue? Do you believe you can control that thing? It's a mystery. If you get your tongue in line with the word, that it releases power. It's a mystery, according to Dr. James, that your tongue can bring health to your body, or your tongue can open up the fires of hell upon your life. Your tongue can. But if you can tame the tongue, bridle the tongue, and James said that tongue is a little rudder on a mighty ship. It can turn that ship any direction. It's a mystery to faith. I thought you wanted to know about faith. You did want to know about faith till I got on this right here. But you're wondering why your faith is not working. I told you I was going to share with you reasons why your faith is not working. It's because you're not acting in faith. You got a knowledge of faith, but you don't understand there is the spirit of faith. You've got the knowledge of faith, but there's the spirit of faith that goes with the knowledge of faith. When you have a knowledge of faith, it lives on the inside of you. But the spirit of faith is the attitude of faith that you act on the word of God. You begin to act as though God is not lying to me. Hallelujah. You said you believed in Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Go up there and ask the people, do they believe in me? I said, oh, come on, Jesus. He said, no, ask them, do they believe? And they all raised their hand. He said, well, if you do believe, he said, then the works I do shall you do also in greater works than these. You think Jesus just went around with a loose tongue? Do you think Jesus got the 12 disciplines together and said, hey, you know, I know what I said. I said that on purpose because I wanted to see if you were listening. He got the 12 disciplines together and said, you know, really, you know, I don't know if God's really going to do what we said, but you know, we're doing okay. We're going to make a good living doing this. If you stick with me, we're going to start an incorporation called Jesus Christ and the Boys. And we're going to start a good business and we're going to make a living because we're going to go around just putting hope in people. We're going to put hope in there and then we're going to leave. I don't know if God really is going to do what he said he would do. They didn't know what God would do until Jesus spoke. Jesus was the only book, the only living book that they had. He was the only one of his kind. He didn't go around telling people, I don't think it's going to work. Amen. I don't think we're going to make it. He was asleep in the middle of the storm. That's a mystery to faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the mysteries of faith. I told you the Holy Spirit was going to tell me something I wasn't prepared to. And I like it when he does. But one of the mysteries of faith, hallelujah, is that you can sleep when everybody else is worrying, fretting, and having anxiety attacks. When you see everybody around you, the Holy Spirit said, fretting, confused, and having anxiety attacks, hold one finger up and say, I got an announcement to make. This is a good time to go to sleep. I think I'll take a nap. They say, how can you sleep? How can you rest when we're going through so much turmoil? Do you care? Do you care? That's what they asked Jesus. Do you care? As soon as you hook your tongue up with your emotions, it begins to say, nobody cares. I want you to know God cares. Amen. And that's the only one that matters. Amen. But you're not going to come out of this situation with sympathy. Sympathy kills a person. Compassion brings miracles to a person. And it's not compassion you have for yourself. It's compassion you have for someone else. It's a mystery to faith. Hallelujah. Recently, just over the this past week, the Holy Spirit said, he said, I'm placing a responsibility upon you. Charles Capps passed away, a friend of mine from Arkansas. And man, I gleaned a lot of things from this man. a whole lot of things from this man. And he told his wife, he said, well, you know, this evening I'm going to go on to be with the Lord. That's what he, at 80 years of age, he said, you know, I've done everything that I know to do here. I preached the gospel, you know, for these 60 some odd years. But this afternoon, I think I'm just going to go on to be with the Lord. And they said that he sat down, and next thing she looked at, he was gone to be with the Lord. He just went on to be with the Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit said unto me, he said, what you're going to preach in honor in him, to honor him. But I'm placing a greater responsibility on you to share some of those things about faith. Because this man dedicated himself to teaching faith. He said, so I'm placing a greater responsibility on you. Well, I have nobody else to take to the woodshed right now but you. When it comes to faith, to impart these things unto you, to let you know, praise God, there's nothing greater in this world than faith. That faith has the power to bring you out, to bring us forth. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. He said here now, verse 26, let's get back here. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. First of all, one part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that he will bring you comfort. And this word comfort actually means peace. He's going to bring you peace. When do you need peace? You need peace every day, all the time. But you know what? You probably don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I want to see hand. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe he's going to bring you peace? Say, praise God. Thank you for bringing me peace right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You said, but you don't understand. You don't understand. No. Anytime someone says you don't understand, they're hooking their words once again up to their emotions. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. We have faith in that name. The Bible said he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. Now, let me share this with you about bringing all things to your remembrance. He will enhance your memory. He will give you a brain tune-up. Where everybody else is losing their memory through Alzheimer's and all these diseases in their mind, the Holy Spirit in you is going to bring all things to your remembrance. Now, when he's going to bring things to your remembrance, do you think he's the one that's going to bring all the pain, dredge the pain up in your life, what so-and-so has done to you? He's not going to bring up the pain. He's going to bring up the power. Amen. You only have one example of someone living in power. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one example of someone living in power. It's not Brother Hagin. It's not Brother Capps. It's not Oral Roberts. Amen. It's not Brother Jesse. Amen. It's not Brother Brian. It's Jesus Christ is the example of somebody that walked in power. And they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to enhance your memory. It is a curse of Adam for you to lose your memory and not be able to remember the word of God and remember how to activate your faith. That's part of the curse of Adam. We've been redeemed from the curse of Adam. We've got the mind of Christ. We have a sound mind. Amen. Praise God. I refuse to say anything like, I can't remember. You say, do you have a moment? I'm not going to tell you if I have any moments. You'll never know if I ever have a moment. I'm not going to broadcast it. I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, praise God, the Holy Spirit's about to bring that up to my memory in Jesus' name. When I lose something, I say, Holy Spirit, where is it at? Amen. If I forget something, I say, Holy Spirit, where was I? Hallelujah. I don't go, well, you know, people my age, we just got, no, don't curse yourself because you're going to end up in a nursing home. You can go from this earth powerful. I'm planning on leaving from this place powerful in Jesus' name. Well, I hope you don't. Well, why would you hope I don't? What's wrong with you to say something like that? Well, you sound a little proud and arrogant. No, 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 no. Praise God. It's not proud. It's not arrogance. You just got to understand when a person's so far down as you are right there, if anybody's positive and anybody that musters faith and anybody that speaks faith, you automatically begin to pervert what they're saying. That's a mystery of faith, is understanding when a person is speaking faith or where they're speaking arrogance. It's a mystery, praise God, and you need to hook your faith up with them. Don't fight me. Don't fight faith. Say the same thing. Praise God, I'm leaving from this earth powerful in Jesus' name. The faith of God can renew your strength. It can revive your body. Praise God. It can make you run and not weary, walk and not faint, soar like the eagles in Jesus' name. Make you strong when everybody else is weak. Make you able to stand. Glory. If the faith that lives on the inside of you is the faith that overcomes the world, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You say the way that you sound is that we don't have problems. No, it's a mystery to faith not to allow the problem to master your personality and shape your personality. It's one of the mysteries of faith. You can either allow the problem to master your personality, or you can allow the provisions of God and the personality of God to get on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the personality of God. I'm sure it's a weak personality, inferiority. You know, I'm sure it's a frail one. I'm sure it's not able, you know, to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. What do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? You only have one thing to do. That's believe. You only have one thing to do. Tell your neighbor, you only have one thing to do. That's believe. Come on now. Tell your neighbor, you only have one thing to do. You only got one thing to do. That's believe. You only have one thing to do. That's believe. You only have one thing to do. That's believe. The only thing you have to do is to believe. How many people believe? How many believe in Jesus? I'm wondering about you. Well, if you believe in Jesus, he said, the works I do shall you do also. Amen. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. Praise God. If you believe now, let me share with you about the comforter of the Holy Spirit. He's the personality of God working on the inside of your personality. I had a South Arkansas personality. It's done me good to come up here because I learned to speak a little bit different, more, you know, praise God. It's done me good to be in the Midwest because, you know, I mean, I go back now and listen to the way they speak down there and I kind of laugh now. But I mean, when I got here, you know, I mean, it's done me good. It's broadened my horizons to be up here among some of the people that, you know, that don't talk like the people of the South. But the Holy Spirit now, he can take you farther than anybody can take you. Because it's not just education, it's the power of his Spirit. I mean, he can work when you say ain't or can't. He can work, praise God. You don't have to have everything fancy with him just as long as you believe in him more than you believe in yourself. And did you hear me? He said, say that again. He can work as long as you believe more in him and not in yourself. Praise God. Amen. You believe in him more than you believe not in yourself. And so quit believing in yourself. Believe in him. He's in you. Praise God. Look at 2 Timothy 1:14. 2 Timothy 1:14. Just write that down if you can't find that. 2 Timothy 1:14. It tells you the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. It said the good thing which is committed unto you. I'm committing good things unto you right now. I'm committing some good things unto you. I'm committing some good things unto you that's going to work tomorrow in your life. That's going to help you face a storm tomorrow. I'm committing some good things unto you that's going to help you come out of the storm in Jesus' name. It's going to help us come out of the storm in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something about one mystery of faith. It doesn't sit around and talk about the storm, but it talks about the provisions of God. It doesn't talk about the mountain. It talks to the mountain. And so that's one of the mysteries of faith. It doesn't sit around and talk about how bad things are. It talks to the bad things about how God is about to move those mountains in Jesus' name. So he said, the good thing that I've committed unto you, if you'll help me once again on that scripture, because I didn't turn it over there myself. He said, I committed unto you. He said, unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. He said, you keep these things by the Holy Ghost. And anytime you see the term Holy Ghost there, it's really the term anointing, the power of God. That your faith has to stand in the power of God. There comes a place in life that you have to have faith in the name of Jesus. You have to have faith in the Word. You have to have faith in God. You have to have faith in the blood. Now, these are all just definite scriptures. And there has to be a point in your life that you have to have faith in the power of God. That the power of God's going to bring you forth. And that the Holy Ghost dwelleth in us. He dwells on the inside of you. That your answer lives on the inside of you. Where am I going to seek the answer? Where am I going to get the answer? Well, ask the one that lives on the inside of you. Quit ignoring him. Amen. He's the someone that's been sent to you to reveal the mysteries of faith. He lives on the inside of you. What should I do? Who should I marry? Where should I go to school? What should I do? How can I figure out all these things? How am I going to get out of debt? What am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're about to kill yourself. You're about to enter into an early grave. You're about to drive yourself crazy. You're about to get into the mental institution. You're about to get on medication if you don't watch yourself. Or you can begin to ask the one that lives on the inside of you. There's only one genius. Why don't you ask him? Why do you want to go around asking all the unbelievers and all the doubters? They don't know what to do. Look at their life. Quit asking them. Why don't you ask an expert in the field? Why don't you ask an advocate? Why don't you ask the attorney, praise God, that lives and lodges on the inside of you? Why don't you have an appointment and why don't you talk to him a little bit? Why don't you shut up and quit talking your issue with everybody else? Why don't you just talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, can you help me? So, sure. He's not going to say, no, I can't help you because, you know, you've ticked me off so many years. He doesn't get mad at people. He only gets grieved when he's not recognized. Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? He's the comforter. He wants to give you peace in the middle of the storm, praise God. He wants to bring all things to your remembrance, things that you know that God has said, things that have been preached unto you, praise God. When I get up here, he's bringing things to my remembrance, things that I know, and he's going to bring things to your remembrance that you've heard, things that Brother Copeland said, Brother Hagin said, Brother Crank said, Brother Schombach said, amen, Brother Oral Roberts said, other ministers said unto you, and when you get up there, all of a sudden, you're going to say, man, I remember what Mark Hankins said. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. He brings things to your remembrance. He begins to bring a revelation to a revelation. He begins to bring light to a thing that was enlightened in your life one time. He doesn't want you living in the dark. He's the comforter. He dwells on the inside of you. He's the one that will anoint you. He will make you stand, praise God. It's one of the mysteries of faith. Hallelujah. Well, go with me over here to John chapter 20. I want to close with this one mystery that the Holy Spirit spoke to me to share with you. One of the mysteries, and we said many of them by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gave me a few, and I don't know all the mysteries of faith. I know that I'm not going to get any more till I preach what I got. As soon as I preach what I got, he's going to give me more. I don't know what all the mysteries of faith are. But he did give me this one, and I'm going to share this one with you. But I've given you probably a few as we were ministering. But notice right here in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. The Bible says in verse... It's all good. It's so good. It's real good. It's good, Jesus. It's good to be with you, praise God. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, which is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up on Wednesday night. Bible study. He wasn't there. The other disciples, therefore, said unto Thomas, notice what they said. We have seen the Lord. This is after the resurrection, after he was crucified and raised from the dead. Now, I'm going to reveal to you one of the mysteries of faith. How many wants one of the mysteries of faith? I'm going to reveal to you one of the most important mysteries of faith right quick. He said, Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of the nail and put my finger into the print of the nail and thrust my hand into his side. Notice what he said. I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Come on in here, Jesus. You are welcome in this church. You're the head of the church. Come on in, Jesus. Then came Jesus, the door being shut. He didn't use a door. After he was raised from the dead, he didn't have to use a door. He had a glorified, resurrected body. He could walk through walls. Hallelujah. When you get your glorified body, amen, it won't have a spot nor a wrinkle. Amen. It won't have any sags. Hallelujah. Gravity won't take over in Jesus' name. It won't have the Dunlap disease. Well, the door being shut and Jesus stood in the midst. And notice every time Jesus shows up, he said, peace be unto you. Now, peace be unto you right now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, peace be unto you. This is an emotional tranquilizer. You can't live without his peace. Do you believe on Jesus? Do you believe that he'll give you peace? Why don't you accept it today? He said, peace be unto you. Then he said unto Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side. And he said, and be not faithless, but believe. If this is not the mystery that I want to reveal to you, but it is one of the mysteries of faith, you can either be faithless or you can be believing. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. He felt the hand. He got to put his hand in the nail print of Jesus. Jesus lifted up his robe and there was the place where the spear went in. He said, go ahead and put your hand in there. And Thomas said, he put his hand in there. And Thomas, when he did that, notice what he said unto him. He said, my Lord, my God. Verse 28. That's what he said. Everybody say, my Lord, my God. That's what he said. He said, amen. He said, my Lord, my God. Wow, gee. Must have wheat thins. I mean, he got excited. Then, notice, Jesus said unto him, Thomas. Here's the mystery of faith now that I want to give you. I only want to give you one. I only want to give you one. Thomas. Because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. There's the mystery to faith. You want to live in faith? You want to fly a plane? You don't fly a plane by sight. You fly it by instruments. You want to live by faith? You don't live by sight. You live by the instruments of the Word of God. You're going to crash if you fly by sight. You're going to go down. As soon as you hit the fog, you're going to go down. You better have a cat in there with you. Because when you get upside down, the cat lets you know. You know what I mean, don't you? When you're flying with a cat, you can tell where the cat is. Cat's going to go to the ceiling. If you're upside down, cat's going to be there. Then you can turn your plane over. If you want to know the mystery to faith, blessed are they that have not seen yet have believed. Praise God. Meaning this right here, if you're living by what you see with your natural eyes, you will always be pretty much discouraged in life. That's not faith. Faith is not living by what you see. It's living by the unseen realities. Unseen realities are more real than the seen realities. Praise God. So it's a mystery to faith. If you want your faith to operate correctly, understand, and this is what we taught the children last week over there in children's ministry on Wednesday night. When you spell faith, guess what? Faith has an I in it. Oh, you're getting deep now. Yeah, it does. It has an I in it. It has an I right in the middle of faith. So faith has an I. It can see. Amen. It can see. You see through the eye of faith. Hallelujah. Dr. Cho has the largest church in the world. You know, their claim is to have 1 million members in their church. 1 million members. A million members. Started off in a war tent with 5 members. And, you know, it's easy for the Asians to preach with their eyes closed because their eyes are almost closed anyway. But he said he preached with his eyes closed. Because he said when he was preaching, he said they couldn't tell if my eyes were open or they're closed because he said they're so close anyway. He said, but I always preach with my eyes closed because when I'm preaching, I am envisioning, he said, 50 people in this tent. When I'm preaching, I'm believing God for 50 people. I'm seeing 50 people. I'm not moved by what I see, he said. I'm envisioning 50. He said, when we hit 50, I envisioned 100. When I hit 100, I envisioned 1,000. When I hit 1,000, I envisioned 10,000. He said, I found out this thing works. He said, there's no limit to this thing. He said, I envisioned 10,000. I envisioned 100,000. He said, I envisioned 500,000. He said, I envisioned 1 million people coming to this full gospel church and worshiping God. He said, I preach with my eyes closed. He said, everything's better in the unseen than it is in the seen. Glory. One of the mysteries of faith is that you're not moved by what you see. Amen. You're moved by the eye of faith. There's not only the eye of faith, there is it in faith. Hallelujah. That means there comes a time that you have to faith it. You have to faith it. You have to faith it. Which is to act like it's all right. How's it going? Everything's all right, praise God. How's it going, widow woman? How's it going? It is. Everything's okay, praise God. How's it going? The prophet said, with you, your husband, and your son, all is well. Amen. The son was dead. The son was dead. Up in the upper chamber. The little boy had a sunstroke. How is it with your son? The prophet said. All is well. Where is your son? He's up in that upper chamber. He went up there, the prophet, and he laid on that son, put his mouth on the boy's mouth, and he began to speak into that, and the boy sneezed 7 times and was raised from the dead. No testament. What did she say? All is well. It is well. It is well. You have to faith it, meaning faith is a voice. Praise God, it is well. It is well. It is well. This too shall pass. Hallelujah. This shall turn. Praise God, it shall turn in Jesus' name. We shall come out. We shall come forth. Praise God, our best is ahead of us. The best days are still in front of us. Praise God, amen. This mountain shall be removed. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to faith it. Glory.